This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
اللهم لك الحمد الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. We are ready when you are إن شاء الله.
Ready إن شاء الله.
Okay, let's begin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our weekly lesson, Virtues of Islam, with our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. This is lesson number 29. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فَلْيَتَفَدَّ الْمَشْكُورَ شَيْخَنَا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله. نحمده. ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam today is our weekly class Fada'il al-Islam, the virtues of Islam. And we are talking about the beauty of the Islamic aqidah, the Islamic creed, the Islamic belief, and the correct way to understand the deen, and the correct way to know your belief and to know your aqidah. You take your belief from the Kitab and Sunnah, and you understand the Kitab and Sunnah in the same way the Prophet understood it and taught it to his companions. You cannot understand the deen better than the Prophet and his companions. It's impossible. The companions were the students of the Prophet ﷺ. The Quran came in their mother tongue. They know it. They were not in need to learn grammar. They were not in need to open dictionaries to check for a particular vocabulary. They were not in need to understand the verses. And there was no need for them to render them figuratively or metaphorically, because they know the nature of their tongue, they know the nature of their language, and they know exactly what Allah meant, the exact meaning. Because Allah sent it in their tongue. That's why if you read the history and the seerah, you will not find any companion, okay, certain verses were confusing him. because they were clear to them. Yes, some incidents happen here and there regarding particular words mentioned in the Quran, which were not known to in the dialect of Quraysh, but they were known in the dialect of other tribes. Okay. So to the Arabs, it's known. Some words, they were not used by Quraysh, but they were used by other tribes. For example, the sikkin and mudia. Sikkin, knife. Mudia means knife. But Quraysh used to use the word mudia. Other tribes, they used the word sikkin. Because it came, the Quran, in the Arabic tongue, most of it in the tongue of Quraysh, but there are some words from the dialects and the of other tribes. So the Quran came in the Arabic tongue, so it was known to the Arabs, known to the Arabs. For these reasons, we have to understand the deen in the same manner that was understood by the three generations. Because the first generation, they witnessed the revelation. They know the reasons behind the revelation. They know when this ayah came down. They know the context in which the ayah came down, etc. And that's what they passed and imparted to their students. And that's how the deen reached us. After the three generations, when the Muslims started to deviate from that state path, the way upon which was the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, when they started translating the works of the Greek philosophers. During the reign of the Al-Ma'mun, so then here a problem started to arise, the conflict between the intellect and the revelation, which one should have more precedence over the other. So those who were influenced by the Greek logic, they started giving the aql, the intellect, more priority than the naql, the revelation. So what is can be comprehended intellectually and digested intellectually, they accept. If it goes against their intellectual capacities, against their own understanding, they were not able to understand the text correctly, then they resort to the metaphor or the majaz, interpreting and rendering and the text, whether it is Quranic ayah or hadith, figuratively or metaphorically. So that they will avoid rejecting the Quran. So they, what they do, they misinterpret the ayah or the hadith, so that it will be in line with their madhab, with their way of thinking, which is influenced by the works of the Greek philosophers. Ilm al-Kalam, philosophy. Sahaba, they were not like that. The deen was very simple, pure. Everyone understands it. So these sects like the Jahmites, Mu'tazilites, today Ash'arites, etc., they were influenced, as I said, by the works of the Greek philosophers, and this affected them, really. They were affected them to a great extent. And they deviated from the way of the Salaf, the way of the Sahaba, and the three generations. Though they think that they were defending the deen intellectually and to refute the atheists, the agnostics, so that's what I said. There is a need to use their tools so that we can refute them. But this didn't stop at that point. This affected them, and then their understanding of the revelation was wrong, and they were mistaken, and they would misconstrue the text in order to make it sound rational. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, "Inna al-Mu'tazila لا دين نصر ولا عدو كسر." معتزلة لا دين نصر ولا عدو كسر. The Mu'tazilites, neither they made the deen prevail and become victorious, supersede everything, nor that they managed to break the enemies, expose them, refute them. They failed. And the ulama, they mention a story that one of the Mu'tazila was traveling with a Zoroastrian fire worshiper. So he wanted to give da'wah to the Zoroastrian. So he told the Zoroastrian, become a Muslim. The Zoroastrian said, ask God to guide me. Pray for me that God, Allah guides me, to guide me. The Mu'tazilites said, Allah guided you, but the shaitan doesn't want you to be guided. See? Allah guided you. Allah wants to guide you. And he guided you already. But the shaitan doesn't want that. So the Zoroastrian said, then I will be on the side of the most powerful one. I'd rather be on the side who won the case, the one who is more powerful. If God wanted, Allah wanted to guide me, and the shaitan stopped that, then the shaitan is more powerful, so I am on the side of the shaitan. I rather stay with the shaitan, who is the most powerful. And the Mu'tazilite dropped his jaws. He opened his mouth. He didn't know what to say. Because here, the problem with the Mu'tazilite, that the issue of hidayah is not clear in his mind. He doesn't know that there are two types of hidayah, two types of guidance. Hidayat irshad and hidayat tawfiq. Two types of hidayah. Hidayat irshad was given to every human being. Allah showed and told us, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّيْدَيْنِ, and we showed him the two paths. And then another type of hidayah, which is Allah's help and assistance. Once you accept what he tells you and you start putting your foot on the right path, then he, Allah, is the one who supports you and makes you, gives you the power and the strength to continue treading on the straight path. But if you decided from the beginning not to put your foot on the straight path and not to tread on it, and you prefer to go to another crooked path, then definitely Allah will not support you and help you. So this was not, is known to the Mu'tazilite. They don't differentiate. That's why he told the Zoroastrian, Allah guided you. He meant that Allah told you and showed you there is hell and heaven. Okay, but the shaitan doesn't want that. So that's why the Zoroastrian said, I'd rather be on the side of the shaitan. Okay. Also because the Mu'tazilites, they don't understand that the will, the divine will, has two aspects, legal aspect and the universal one. So there are two types or two ways or two aspects of the divine will, shar'iyya and kawniyya. The shar'iyya, what Allah allows, the kawniyya, what happens. What happens and what takes place and what occurs. And not everything that happens, Allah loves. But Allah allows these things to happen for a divine wisdom. Allah doesn't like the kufr, the disbelief. But the people disbelieve by Allah's will, no doubt. They cannot disbelieve against his will, because otherwise he's weak. If something happens in his kingdom against his will, but he willed it and allowed it to happen universally, though he doesn't like it, then there is a wisdom behind that. And because Allah has granted and given the human being the free will to choose, so that's why he does not stop him from pursuing and doing what he chose. So that's why things that Allah doesn't like happen in his kingdom. So that is the universal aspect of the universal will. The legal will is what Allah loves. Allah loves us to believe. He doesn't want us to disbelieve. وَلَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not happy, is not pleased when people disbelieve. But they disbelieve. And he loves, and he wants us to believe. He loves that. So, not everything Allah loves happens. He wants us to believe, but many of us disbelieve. as children of Adam. And the two, as you know, the two aspects of the divine will can coexist when you do something good. When you do something good, this good that you are doing happened according to both the universal will and the legal will or irada shar'iyya, because Allah loves it, so it is irada shar'iyya. Because it happened, so it is irada kawniyya. So the two wills, they coexist when you do righteous deed. And they depart when you commit misdeed, when you commit a sin. When you commit a sin, this sin happened according to the legal, the universal will, not the legal will, because Allah doesn't like you to drink alcohol or to commit zina. But it happened. So it happened according to the universal will, and there's a wisdom behind that. So the Mu'tazila, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, la deena nasaru wa la aduwan kasaru. They neither made the deen victorious and spread to all over the places, and people started to embrace it. Know that they managed to convince the disbelievers and expose them. So the Sahaba, they were not in English, because some, why I'm saying, emphasizing on these things and mentioning these things to you, because there are some Muslims living among us are impressed by the Mu'tazilites. And they think that the Sahaba, masakeen, okay? They are very simple-minded, not intellectual. Because they were following what Allah said, so they were not intellectual. Or they abide by what Allah said and His Prophet. So my advice for anyone who has this problem and sickness is to wake up and come back to Allah Azza wa Jal and follow the way of the Sahaba, Tabi'een, Tabi'at Tabi'een, the three generations, the four Imams, and the bulk of the Muslims throughout the history and the generations that preceded us. And also learn from the stories and biographies of those who went astray and then came back towards the end of their life, like Imam Juwayni, like Shahrastani, like Imam Razi, all of them, towards the end of their lives, they regretted. And they were crying when they were dying, begging Allah and asking Allah forgiveness. Juwayni repented, though he was Ash'ari. When just simple man asked him, he was explaining the ayat about Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that Allah, okay, overcame his kingdom, istawla, became, he dominated, So he was not saying that Allah is above his creation, outside his creation, stawa above the throne. He was not saying that. So this simple man asked him, layman said, leave us of all these things. I want you to explain to me the feeling I have. This innate feeling I have. Whenever I'm in need, my heart turns up and turns only to Allah and cries only to Allah. Why? Can you explain that feeling for me? When you are in need, you only even ask the kuffar or the mushrik, God, God. Even those who say, the brother sent me a clip, an Ash'ari, who denies the istiwa, but his fitrah exposed him. And while he was joking, saying, Allah, and he was pointing, Allah. Though he's saying, Allah is not above us, but the fitrah defeated him. So when this question was posed by this layman to Al-Juwayni, he started licking his face, starting squeezing his head, and saying, Hayyarani, Hayyarani, Hamadani. You perplexed me, you confused me. I don't have an answer, because this same feeling he has. And he has no answer. Why? Because of the evil consequences of the works of the Greek philosophers and their philosophy. The same thing happened to Imam Razi, who is the founder, or let's say, the one who spread the madhab of the Ash'ari. Because the founder of the Ash'ari madhab is Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari himself, who was a Mu'tazili with the Mu'tazilite for 40 years. And he grew up under the tutelage, protection of his stepfather, Abu Ali al-Jibai. So he was a Mu'tazilite for 40 years. And then he repented. And he said, I am shunning and quitting i'tizal. And I'm upon the Kitab and Sunnah, and I'm upon the madhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the way of the Salaf. So the founder himself, he left his madhab. And he wrote two famous books, Maqalat al-Islamiyin and Al-Ibana an Usul al-Diyana. But the one who spread this madhab is Razi. And now the Razi, before he died, he repented. He repented. And he said in a poem, نهاية إقدام العقول عقال. The audacity of the mind when you just follow what your mind tells you with no controls, with no guidance of the wahi, the revelation. You leave your mind to wander the way it likes, you go astray. نهاية إقدام العقول عقال. وغاية سعي العالمين الضلال. The ultimate outcome and the fruit that those people who followed that path and tread along the path of the philosophers is misguided. Balal. وَغَايَةُ سَعِي الْعَالَمِينَ بَلَالُ وَأَرْوَاحُنَا فِي وَحْشَةٍ مِّنْ جُسُومِنَا. Our souls are strangers within our bodies. The soul feels this is not its right place. And we feel this wildness, washa, no serenity, no harmony between the soul and the intellect. We don't have this. We have this inner struggle and conflict between the two. وَأَرْوَاحُنَا وَالصَّوْلِ فِي وَحْشَةٍ. There's no inner peace within our bodies. وَغَايَةُ فِي وَحْشَةٍ مِنْ يُسُومِنَا وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طِوَالَ عُمْرِنَا. سواء جمعنا فيه قيل وقالوا. Said, وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا. We did not benefit anything out of our research and study, these different schools of philosophy. Throughout our lives, all our prime youth was wasted. وَأَرْوَاحُنَا فِي وَحْشَةٍ مِنْ جُسُومِنَا وَغَايَةُ الدُّنْيَانَا أَذَى وَوَبَالُ. What we gained, what we earned is other harm and wabal, which means evil consequences, harm, suffering, misery. This is what we feel. This is what we gained out of this. وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طِوَالَ عُمْرِنَا سُوَاً جَمَعْنَا فِيهِ قِيلَ وَقَالُ. He said, what we benefited, what we compiled, what we learned, the different quotes and sayings and statements of the philosophers. قَالُوا قِيلَ وَقَالُوا. This philosopher said this, this philosopher said that, this one refutes this philosopher, this one. That's what we learned. Nothing. And then he said, this is what it is that towards the end of his life when he's dying. He said, and I came back to the Book of Allah and I read regarding the negation, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. You see the whole aqidah? Regarding the nature of Allah, Allah told us about it in this ayah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Finish. Finish. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto him. So whatever comes to your mind, that is not Allah. Because Allah is not like anything. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Yet, he is all hearer, all seer. Though he said there's nothing like unto him, but he affirmed and gave himself attribute. The attribute of hearing and the attribute of knowing. So he's saying, فَأَقْرَأُ فِي النَّفِي لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. I read regarding the negation, there's nothing like unto him. And I read regarding the affirmation, وهو السميع البصير. That is all hearer, all seer. So I affirm what he has given himself and described himself with, and I negate what he negated. But he realized this fact too late, towards the end of his life. And this is what the Sahaba were upon from day one. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, you understand your deen in this way. Take another one. Also from the Asha'ira. Imam Shahrastani, rahimahullah. And may Allah have mercy on all of them, rahimahullah ta'ala. Shahrastani. The one who wrote Al-Milal or Al-Nihal or name of his book. or I think a million in Halba ibn Hazm, but similar, the title is similar. Also talks about the different schools and sects. So he said in a poem, Shahristani, rahimahullah, لعمري لعمري لقد طفت في تلك المعاهد كلها. By Allah, sorry, by my life. But this is pattern of speech, to swear by your own life. لعمري لقد طفت, I have visited. لعمري لقد طفت في تلك المعاهد كلها, I have visited all the different schools. Schools of philosophy, of course. وَسَيَّرْتُ طَرْفِي, and I scanned through their philosophies and what they had written. وَسَيَّرْتُ طَرْفِي بِينَ تِلْكَ الْمَعَالِمِ. So I studied thoroughly and these works of the philosophers. بين تلك المعالم فلم أجد إلا قارعا سن نادم, فلم أجد إلا قارعا سن نادم فلم أرى فلم أرى إلا واضعا كف حائر على دقن أو قارعا سن نادم. Subhanallah. He describes the state of the philosophers. He said, فَلَمْ أَجِدْ إِلَّا وَاضِعًا كَفَّ حَائِرٍ. This is the kaf. And you put it here when you are confused. And even there are some portraits of the Greek philosophers where you see them, some of them sitting like this, confused. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ إِلَّا وَاضِعًا. What I found that some of them are confused, placing their hands under their chins, thinking, and they are perplexed, in state of confusion. إِلَّا وَاضِعًا كَفَّ حَائِرٍ عَلَى دَقْنٍ أَوْ قَارِعًا سِنَّ نَادِمِ. And another one tapping his teeth. When you are angry, nervous, and anxious, you are tapping your teeth. أو قارعا سن نادمي. He's tapping his teeth out of regret. This is what I have found. This is what Imam Shahristani said. Imam Sanani rahimahullah answered him when he said, I visited all the schools and I didn't find something that will quench my thirst and bring serenity to my heart and peace of mind. I didn't find it. So he told him, لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذُ مَا زُرْتَ أَحْمَدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم. لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذُ ما زرت أحمد رسول الهدى من خير هاشمي. والله لو زرته الدهر مرة ما كنت نهبا. لو زرته الدهر مرة قال لعلك يا أستاذ ما زرت أحمد رسول الهدى المبعوث من خير هاشمي. فما حار من يهدى بهدي محمد فما حار من يهدى بهدي محمد ولست تراه قارعا سن نادم. يا سلام يا سلام. This is the Salafi answers. This is the correct reply and response by Imam Sanani رحمه الله. He said, لعلك يا أستاذ, perhaps, O أستاذ, out of respect, O teacher, لعلك يا أستاذ, ما زرت أحمد. There is one school, O Shahristani, you missed it. Alas, what school you didn't visit? One school. You went to all the other schools, but one school very close to you, not far away, in your locality, scholars are there, and the students of that school, but you were looking upon them. Oh, they are not intellectual. They just say, haddathana, haddathana, haddathana. That's how they look to the people of Sunnah and Hadith. We need to go and see the works of Aristotle, Socrates, Plato. So he told him, لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذ. Perhaps, O teacher, O Ustad, مَا زُرْتَ أَحْمَدَ. You forgot to visit the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. You forgot to visit the school of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. You forgot to visit the school of Ahmed صلى الله عليه وسلم. This school you didn't visit. لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذُ مَا زُرْتَ أَحْمَدَ رَسُولَ الْهُدَى. The messenger of guidance, the one who came with the guidance, the one who came and he placed us on the right path, the clear path, the straight path, no crookedness therein. تركتكم تركتكم على البيضاء أو المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هال. I have left you in a clear path. It's day and night at the same. Clear. Whether you are treading on it at night or during the day, you will not trip over. Because there are no crookedness in it. It's straight. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. Whoever deviates from their end will be ruined, will be destroyed. And yet, he didn't go to through this school. لعلك يا أستاذ ما زرت أحمد رسول الهدى. This Rasul guy shows you the path. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The Prophet guides us, shows us. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يَخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبْهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَيُصِيبْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those be aware and careful who disobey him and act to the contrary of his command, lest fitna, affliction, befall them, hit them, or painful punishment, adhab alim, if you leave the way of the Prophet. لعلك يا أستاذ ما زرت أحمد رسول الهدى. This school you didn't visit. المبعوث في خير هاشمي. The one who was sent in the best clan of Hashim. The best of the Arabs. Because Allah, سبحان ربي العظيم, Allah looked upon the people, the inhabitants of the earth, and he despised, he hated all of the inhabitants, except a handful from the people of the scriptures who were still worshipping Allah in the right way. They were monotheists like Warab ibn Nawfal and the like. For those who were monotheists, following the footsteps of Musa alayhi salam and the footsteps of Isa alayhi salam. Because the whole earth was in total darkness. The darkness of paganism, idolatry. And then Allah looked among all the nations and he chose the Arabs. Why the Arabs? Yes, the best among the lot. Why? Because they were a bit closer to the fitrah. And their kufr and their shirk is not philosophical. It's very superficial. Because you have to keep in mind that the Arabs, they were the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. And they were monotheists, the Arabs. Until the head of Khuza'a, because Khuza'a became the custodian of the Haram, the holy shrine, Mecca, and he visited Ash-Sham, and when he was coming back, he found them worshipping idols. So he asked, they said, we ask them as intercessors or intermediaries, and they communicate our prayers to the one in heaven. So he took one and placed it around the Kaaba. And that's how the Arabs started to deviate and how they started to become pagans, leaving the Hanifiya, the monotheistic creed. But still some remnant of the monotheistic creed of the Hanifiya, of what the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail remained, like the Hajj, sanctifying the house of Allah, the sacred month, these things remained. The Hajj, going to Mina, going to Ara, all these rituals remained. So Allah chose them. Because they had also some qualities. The others don't have. Like the generosity, truthfulness, honesty, bravery. They were known for that. So they need to be polished, and then they will start shining again, because their substance is good. That's why the Prophet said, "Khiyarukum fil jahiliyyah, khiyarukum fil Islam idha faqihu." Those who are good in jahiliyyah, they will be good in Islam if they understand the deen. So Allah chose the Arabs, then Allah chose from among the Arabs Quraysh, and then from Quraysh, Banu Hashim. So here, Imam Sana'ani is saying, لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذُ نَزُرْتَ أَحْمَدَ رَسُولَ الْهُدَى الْمَبْعُوثُ مِنْ خَيْرِ هَاشِمْ. He's the best of Bani Hashim. فَمَا حَارَ مَنْ يُهْدَى بِهَدْيِ مُحَمَّدٍ. The one who follows the guidance that the Prophet ﷺ brought, you never find him confused or tapping his teeth or placing his hand under his chin. You never find him like that. فَمَا حَارَ مَنْ يُهْدَى بِهَدْيِ مُحَمَّدٍ. The one who follows the teachings and the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, you never be confused. You never be perplexed. وَلَسْتَ تَرَاهُ قَارِعًا سِرَّ نَادِمِي. And you will never find him tapping his teeth out of regret. So this is what happened to those people who left and following the Kitab and Sunnah and understand this Kitab and Sunnah as the Prophet ﷺ taught it to his companions. The same thing, Imam al-Juwayni, Imam al-Haramain, same thing. He regretted. When he was dying, he said, ثَكَّلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا جُوَيْنِي مَا لَمْ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ هَا أَنَا ذَا أَمُوتُ عَلَى دِينِ عَجَائِزْ نَيْسَبُورِ الله أكبر. This is Imam Juwayni is saying this. Woe to me, woe to you, O Juwayni. May your mother lose you. تَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا جُوَيْنِي If Allah does not encompass you in His mercy, you followed the path that the people of guidance, the righteous people, warned you. You didn't pay attention. You didn't heed. You decided to go and walk along that path. Woe to you, O Juwayni, if Allah does not encompass you in His mercy. Ha anada, here I am, dying upon the deen of the old woman of Naysapur. What did he mean by that? He meant, here I die upon the fitra, upon what my mother believed. What my mother believes, what my grandmother believes, and what all the old women of Naishabur believed, and the fitra, that what I'm dying upon, begging and asking Allah for forgiveness. So, this is the importance of following the way of the Salaf, the way of the Sahaba. And I want you always to remember and memorize the ayah where Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى نُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمُ سَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And whoever contends with the messenger, even after guidance has been clearly conveyed to him and follows the path other than the believer's way, we shall leave him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. What an evil destination. And no doubt the believers mentioned in the ayah of the Sahaba. Also Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 137, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. So if they believe as you believe in the like of that which you believe, then they are indeed on the right path. But if they turn away, then they are in opposition. But Allah will suffice you as against them, and He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Subhanallah. Now listen, let us reflect here. So Allah is telling the Sahaba, in Aman, addressing them. When this ayah came, Allah is saying, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ If the others believe in what you believe in, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ So if they believe, as you believe, in the like of that which you believe, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا If they believe, بِمِثْلِ In the same way that you believe, this is how you believe, this is how you understand. So they believe in the same way you believe. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ So if they believe, as you believe, in the like of that which you believe, فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا Then they are indeed guided on the right path. Let us pause here. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا. This is conditional. Okay. This is شَرْطِيَّة. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا. This is the condition. The fulfillment of the condition, the reward of the fulfillment of the condition, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Let me give you an example. إِنْ تَدْرُسْ تَنْجَحْ. إِنْ تَدْرُسْ تَنْجَحْ. إِنْ تُصَلِّي تَفُزْ بِالْجَنَّةِ. إِنْ تَصُمْ تَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. This is called شَرْطِيَّة. Conditional. So if in تدرس إن تذاكر تنجح. If you revise, so this is the condition. You have to revise. إن تذاكر تنجح. If you revise, if you revise, you will pass. إن تصلي تفوز. If you pray, you will succeed. This is فعل الشرط. It's called فعل الشرط. The first, the condition that comes after the article of the condition is called فعل الشرط. And the reward is called جواب الشرط. The response to the condition, to the fulfillment of the condition. So when I tell you, if you study, this is فعل الشرط. This is the condition. What is جواب الشرط? تفوز. تنجح. You'll pass. That's why you see the importance of the Arabic, understanding Arabic. So now read the ayah. فَإِن is the article of harf شرط. That شرط is, this is an article of a conditional article. Where is فعل الشرط? What's the condition? آمن. آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به. This is the فعل الشرط. This is فعل الشرط. فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به. If they believe in the same way that you believe, in that which you believe, where is your جواب الشرط? Where is the response to the fulfillment of the condition? Where is the reward? فقد اهتدوا. This is your جواب الشرط. Then they are indeed on the right path. Then they are indeed guided. فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا. And Allah is saying, فَقَدْ. For sure, they are guided if they follow and believe in the same way you believe. If the people believe in the same way you believe, all my the companions of my prophet, then they are guided. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا. They are guided. What if they decided not to do that? Not to believe in the same way the Sahaba believed. What will happen to them? Read. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. Yes. What will happen to them? وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. But if they turn away, تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then they are in opposition. They are in contention. They are contending and opposing the haq, the truth. فَهُمْ فِي شِقَاق. فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق. What will happen? فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. But Allah will suffice you. Suffice you. Allah is sufficient for you. But Allah will suffice you as against them. And then Allah ended the ayah. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Many times I told you, my dear brothers and sisters, pay attention always how the ayat are ended. And study the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah hears what people say, and He knows what they are doing. And the duty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to present the haqq, to invite them. If they accept, alhamdulillah, they will save themselves from the hellfire. If they acted otherwise, then they are ruining themselves. And Allah hears what they are saying, and Allah knows what they are doing. Oh, Senior Ali, no need to compromise, no need to try to misconstrue the ayah or the hadith to please the invitees, to make them feel happy. Oh, Islam is good. No, Islam is good whether you say it is good or not. Islam is sweet and beautiful. And we don't need, there's no need for us to put cosmetics. Islam doesn't require cosmetics to be beautified. It is beautiful in itself. We just need to present it as is. No need to put our own thoughts, nothing. We just present it in its pristine form. من شاء فليؤمن من شاء فليكفر وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ. The duty of the messenger is to declare, to convey the message. That's it. The one who opens people's hearts and places the light of guidance there and light of iman is only Allah. We don't have that ability. وهو السميع العليم. Allah is always all hearing. He's all hearer. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. And in the hadith in Sahih Imam Bukhari, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of my nation is my generation. Then those who follow them, then those who follow them. So Sahih Imam Bukhari, the best. They are the best in everything. Best in their iman, best in their deen, best in their understanding, best in their manners, best in everything. Who can be better than Abu Bakr Siddiq? Or Umar, or Uthman, or Ali, or Talha, or Zubair? Who can be? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, his iman outweighs the iman of the rest of mankind. So the best generation, my generation, the Sahaba. Allah said regarding the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. What else do you want? What else do you want? That those whom you follow, Allah is pleased with them. Do you think Allah is pleased with them because, and they were, their understanding was wrong, was erroneous, and Allah is pleased with them? No. Nah, of course, not. But their understanding of the deen was correct. That's why Allah is pleased with them. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَ. And all of them, Allah promised them the Jannah. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. So the best of my nation is my generation. Then, second generation, the students of the Sahaba, Tabi'in. Then those who follow them, the third generation, tabi'i tabi'in, so generation of the companions, immediate followers, and the followers of the immediate followers, tabi'i tabi'in. These are the three generations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions and the two generations. Ameen. And may Allah raise us in their company in the Akhirah. Ameen. And always remember the saying of Imam Malik rahimahullah. And he said, I always remind you that Imam Malik said, Man za'ama an za'ama anna fil islami bid'atan hasana fa innama yattahimu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil khiyana. Inni sami'tu Allah yaqul al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum islam dina. وما لم يكن يومئذ دينا فلن يكون اليوم دينا. Imam Malik said, من زعم, whoever claims there is a good innovation in Islam, bid'ah hasan, a good innovation, فإنما يتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالخيانة. Verily, he accuses the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he betrayed the message and he didn't convey the message completely. So there is part of the message is missing, and you are coming to fill the gap. You fill the what the Prophet hid and he didn't convey. So you are accusing your Prophet when you say this is bid'ah hasana, good innovation. Inni sami'tu Allah yaqul, I have heard Allah saying, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, today I have completed your deen. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, I have perfected your religion, completed my favors upon you. Atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and I have accepted al-islam and chosen al-islam as a way of life, as a deen for you. Then he said, wa ma lam yakun yawma idhin deena, what was not part of the deen at the time of the Prophet, what was not part of the deen at that time, وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا, what was not part of the deen at the time of the Prophet, فَلَنْ يَكُونَ لِيَوْمَ دِينًا, it will never be accepted today as part of Al-Islam or part of the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq and unite our hearts on the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ سالم. We'll now inshallah start the question and answers time. Brothers and sisters, if you have questions, please send them in fast so we can cover them before we end the session. The first question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. What is the ruling on visiting a Hindu's wedding?
You mean go to the wedding?
Yes.
Okay. If there's nothing haram involved, like drinking alcohol and free mixing and anything haram that in our Islam we don't accept, you can't attend. For example, you can't just go and say, okay, congratulations, something like this, and you leave. You can't leave. So if there is nothing haram there, there's no harm. I want you to understand one thing. See, Islam didn't prohibit everything. The things that Islam prohibited are the things where the people went wrong. Islam did not address people's traditions, customs, daily practices, types of dresses. All these issues Islam did not address. The things that are wrong, Islam corrected, that's it. So the traditions and the customs of any community, are permissible, halal. Not necessarily the traditions of other communities should be a replica of the Arabs. No, who said that? Every community, they have their own norms, they have their urf, they have their own traditions, they have their own customs. If these are not against the teaching of Islam, they are permissible. Because this is a rule of thumb. Al-Asr, this is the basic rule. Visiting people, giving them condolences, in the sense that, of course, you don't make dua, but someone's your neighbor. One of his beloved one passed away. So Islam does not prohibit you or prevent you from consoling him as a human being. He needs someone to console him, to tell him, be patient, be this. This is something inevitable, all of us will die. Things like this, nice words. That's permissible, there's no harm. Yes, we don't participate in the funerals. Okay. But to give your condolences, there's nothing wrong with that. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We'll go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. My question is about scholars. Why are scholars who came later so much quoted than the Sahaba, i.e. the four Imams, scholars like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh al-Albani, Ibn Uthaymeen, Ibn Baz? May Allah have mercy on their souls.
Well, you see, first of all, we should not, limit that the scholars of Islam are only this what mentioned in the question. The majority of the scholars of Islam, they were upon the Sahaba's way, the majority. But unfortunately, because these, thoughts or schools of thought, they became famous and supported by the rulers. For example, the Madhab Ash'ari was enforced and was taught in schools. Okay, in the history of Islam. And even today, most of the universities across the Islamic world, they are teaching the Ash'ari doctrine, not the doctrine of the Salaf. This is what is happening. But when you read the history of the scholars, and the majority of the scholars of Islam are upon what the three generations were upon. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq. Ameen. Next question, please.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible as a Muslim to help a non-Muslim secure a job when there is no Muslim that is qualified for the job?
The answer, yes. Okay, to recruit a non-Muslim who's qualified and meets the requirements. Okay, And if this, and he's a normal person, he's not, I mean, going to, I mean, you're not helping him to, he's, for example, he's not an activist, he's not a da'i for his kufr, so that now by granting him this job, you will help him and he will use the money in that way. He's a normal person, qualified, applied for the job. He met the requirements. That's fine. And as long as, of course, this position is not that sensitive. So there's no harm. Next question. But of course, you need to search and look and to find a Muslim. But in case that, okay, you didn't find, and you need his expertise, there's no harm. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Well, it is clear, Sheikh. And that was the final question of tonight's session. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah, jazakallah khair, Sheikh Zana.
Wa iyyakum barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair, may Allah bless you, bless your families, protect you, protect your family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us what we are ignorant of, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our mistakes and faults, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet him and find him pleased with all of us. I mean, my dear brothers and sisters, until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. بحفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.